This weekend, tomorrow especially, we celebrate the independence of our country, and I'm grateful today for the independence we have, the freedoms that we have. So I said earlier, I'm proud to be an American. I'm glad to live here and grateful I was born here. And again, like I said, it's not perfect by any means, but I'm grateful for the liberty we have. And I pray that we continue to have that liberty and that God would guide and direct us in these days. But long before we got this independence, there was an independence that was given to the nation of Israel. That's what I want to look at today and share with you how they were set free and received their freedom. And then I want to relate it even to us today. I'm grateful today for my independence as an American, but I'm grateful today for my independence as a Christian. The fact that God gave me the opportunity to make a choice whether I accept Him or reject Him. And I'm glad that by the guidance of a mom and dad that cared about me, that one day I put my faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, and He saved my soul. And I know that I'm saved from all eternity. But as we come to the passage of Scripture today, in chapter number 6, we begin reading verse number 1. Let me just read through verse 8. And we'll share with you a few thoughts here this morning. Then the Lord said unto Moses, Now thou shalt see what I will do to Pharaoh. For with a strong hand shall he let them go, and with a strong hand shall he drive them out of his land. And God spake unto Moses and said unto him, I am the Lord. And I appeared unto Abraham, and unto Isaac, and unto Jacob, by the name of God Almighty. But by my name Jehovah was I not known to them. And I have also established my covenant with them to give them the land of Canaan, the land of their pilgrimage, wherein they were strangers. And I have also heard the groanings of the children of Israel, whom the Egyptians kept in bondage, and I have remembered my covenant. Wherefore say unto the children of Israel, I am the Lord, and I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians, and I will rid you out of their bondage, and I will redeem you with a stretched out arm and with great judgments. And I will take you to me for a people, and I will be to you a God. And ye shall know that I am the Lord, your God, which bringeth you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. And I will bring you into a land concerning the which I did swear to give it to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. And I will give it to you for an inheritance. And again, he says, I am the Lord. Our Father, Lord, we do thank you today that you are Lord, and we're grateful today that we have the Word of God. Lord, we've got the very God-breathed Word that you've given to us, and I pray, Lord, today that you would use it to speak to my heart, even as I preach, and to the hearts of those that are listening today. And again, Lord, we thank you for one day setting me free. I'm glad that one day I place my faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. As everyone born into this world, we're all headed for condemnation. But thank the Lord, when we repent of our sins and call out to God and ask Him to come into our heart, forgive us of our sin and saves us, He gives us the wonderful eternal life. And Lord, I'm thankful for that today. I rest assured in knowing today that one day I'm going to receive that land that you promised me. Lord, one day I'm going to heaven to be with you as well as to be with those who have gone on before me. And I pray today that everyone in this building has the same assurance that I do. Lord, I pray that you would guide and direct, have your will and way, and we'll thank you now for what you do and what you're going to do. In Jesus' name we ask and pray. Amen. We could hear the crack of the taskmaster's whip as he whipped the Israelites as they were there as slaves. And we find that they had been slaves for 400 years. It was a long time. Seemed to them as if they were going to be there forever. Tens of thousands of their forefathers had been born and lived and died as slaves in Egypt. Then one day, a man by the name of Moses showed up. Moses wasn't a great skilled person, one that might have everything that you'd think he had. In fact, he made excuses for why he couldn't go. But God said, that's all right, you go and I'll take care of you. And so he went to, Moses showed up, but he was born, if you'll remember, to a poor slave family of Egypt himself. He was born there, but yet because of the rule, and we'll get to that in a minute, I don't want to get ahead of myself, he ended up being adopted into Pharaoh's house. Now here's Moses, an Israelite. Pharaoh is giving the Israelites a very difficult time, demanding that they work and do all the things they do. And here Moses is adopted into Pharaoh's house, and Pharaoh's daughter was taking care of him. One of their own, he came to telling them the stories of meeting God, their fathers, And Moses claimed to have met God. He had talked about meeting God one day on the mountains of Sinai. And so his stories of God's love to them and God's plan, and here they are in present bondage, I believe it excited them for a little bit. And they said, boy, this is going to be great. See what happened? He had increased their work. When this happened, Pharaoh increased the work, brought about more difficulty and persecution to them. And at that point, they began to think Moses was just an old man that didn't know what he was talking about. But yet, they shared their feelings with Moses, and according to Exodus, and I'll not take time to read it, Exodus 5, 20 and 21, Moses in turn took his complaint to the Lord. In response, God issues the people of Israel a splendid promise, and this is what we get to here this morning. You'll find, if you notice, in those last few verses I read, 6, 7, and 8, notice there was a lot of I wills. In fact, if you count them, there'll be 7 of them where God said, I will. I'm glad to know that God said, when he said, I will, he always stands by his word. When he said that he would save us, he will. When he says he'll keep us, he will. When he says he'll never leave us, he will. And I'm glad to know today that when he said, I will, that we can put our faith and trust in him. And so I want to talk to you this morning for a few minutes of the blessings of the redeemed. I tell you today, my life could have not been any better any other way except the life that I've tried to live serving the Lord Jesus Christ and trusting him to meet my need along the way. I hope this morning as we look, we see the application that is given. I want to look at some of the I wills and pray there'll be a blessing. And I want to show you what you're missing out on if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior. Oh, today, friend, the greatest day of my life was the day that I trusted Jesus Christ, because what it gave me was eternal life. It gave me a place in heaven. It gave me an assurance today. I'm not afraid to die. I know where I'm going when I die, and I want to share that with you this morning, because what is available for them is available to us, even though theirs in a different way, and we'll talk about that in a minute. But yet, it was available to them, it was available to us, and God said, I will. And friend, if God said, I will, he will. You can trust him right down to the letter that he'll do what he said he would do. The first thing I want you to notice in verse 6 is the I will of unconditional salvation. He said, I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians, and I will rid you out of their bondage, and I will redeem you with a stretched out arm and with great judgment. Friend, what he was saying to them, whosoever will, let him come. If you'll do this, I will redeem you. I will bring you out. I will rid you from the burdens and the bondage along the way. You see, Israel's cruel slavery was in the land of Egypt, and God knew all about it. God knew who they were, and God makes them his people, and he was going to deliver them from their burdens, much like we are today. And I listened to a lady the other day. She was talking on the news, and she talked about where she used to be, and her philosophy changed on the issue of abortion, actually. And she used to actually work in an abortion clinic. And she said, but one day I met the Lord Jesus Christ, and he changed my life. Can I say to you today, that's the only thing in our life that will save our life, is when the Lord saves us by his marvelous grace. You see, we are in the bondage of sin. Sin carries a lot of baggage. All of us today would have to hang our head in shame and say, we've done things we ought not to have done. We've gone places we ought not to have gone. We have failed the Lord in many ways. But thanks be to God who gave his son Jesus to die on the cross for our sin in order that we might have salvation. God has promised us not only will he save us, but he will deliver us from the entanglements of this world. We get caught up in this world and the things of the world, but I want to tell you, the Bible said heaven and earth shall pass away, but he said, my word shall not pass away. He said, the grass withereth and the flower fadeth, but the word of my God shall stand forever. I don't know about you, but I believe I'm going to stand on his word with him and believing what he said. He takes the entanglements of the world. The Bible said in 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. I sure am glad when God saved my soul, he set me free. I remember years ago, I used to go to a Pentecostal church with a young lady that I was seeing back then as a teenager. Daddy was actually the preacher. And we were there, and it seemed like every service they sang, he set me free. I tell you, it didn't mean as much to me back then because I wasn't where I needed to be. But I can tell you this morning, He set me free. And I have the freedoms that God gives me today. He's made me a new creature in Christ. And listen, there's no hell, there's no judgment, and there's no condemnation for those who put their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm grateful today that I'm not going to hell. There's only freedom and glory and communion with God. Notice what else He said. He said, I will save you from the bondage of slavery. Their salvation produced more than freedom from their heavy burdens. Thank God today, their burdens could have been taken away, but they could have remained as slaves. That wouldn't have been so great. They're still slaves, but maybe God could relieve the burdens along the way. But He said, I will take away your burdens. Not only did God change their situation, but God changed their identification. He gave them basically a new lease on life. He broke the bonds that held them. And He said, I'm going to let you go. And this is what He does for every sinner that trusts Christ. Friend, bring your burdens to the Lord and leave them there. When you leave the altar, don't pick them up and take them back with you, because if you leave them there, He will bear our burdens for us. Salvation sets the saved one free. I'm grateful today. It relieves us of many burdens along the way. And I'm not going to stand here today and tell you, you get saved, you won't have some burdens. You won't have some problems. But I can tell you one thing. He said, my grace is sufficient for every need you have. And we can trust Him along the way. Then not only that, but He goes on. Go back to verse 6 there. He said, I'll rid you out of their... He talks about their burdens. Then He said, I will rid you out of their bondage. They're saved from the barrier of slavery. God's promise to them is that He's going to redeem them. They're going to be brought back out of slavery by the mighty power of God. Friend, that's how they got out of Egypt. It wasn't because of Moses. It kind of was because Moses allowed God to use him. But it was God's power that released him. God was controlling the situation the whole way through with the plagues that was offered. He was working in Pharaoh's life as well as working in Moses' life, doing exactly what He needed to do in order that they might see His power come forth. And so what happened? We find the bondage that they were in and what they were going through. And yet God said, what Pharaoh said is, He says, we're going to come back, and He said, we're going to kill the firstborn of all your children. Boy, can you imagine that? That'd be devastating within itself. But God took care of that. He said, I want you to get a lamb. I want you to slay the lamb, and I want you to get a little bit of blood. He said, a little bit, just say, get the blood. And I want you to put it over the around the lintels of the doorposts and over the doorposts. And listen to what He said. He said, when I see the blood, He said, I will pass over you. And I'm grateful today that when God looked down, those children, He saw the blood and He passed over. And yet, by His power, those people were symbolically saved by the blood of Jesus Christ at the Passover by doing what God told them to do. Do you understand? We're saved by the blood. We're saved by God's blood, even that was shed way after this. But yet, as they looked forward to it, God told them to take a lamb without spot or without blemish, slay the lamb, apply the blood, and because they believed, they were saved. And friends, salvation is all about believing and trusting and having faith in the blood that Jesus Christ shed on the cross for our sin. And by the way, the remedy for sin is still in the blood. Amen. I'm grateful today. Somebody said, I don't know why y'all sing all them bloody songs down there at the church. I like them. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Christ. I say, somebody said, there's a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunged beneath the flood loose all their guilty stains. Said, well, I don't know why y'all talk about it. I'll tell you why you talk about it. Because there's power in the blood. And we're saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. And God's power is more clearly visible when He transforms the sinner. And I'm going to tell you today, when God changes somebody, you can tell that there's been a difference in their life. I wonder today if you experienced the glory of God's salvation. Have you trusted in His blood? You say, what do I have to do? Oh, nothing. Just, He said, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. He said that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised from the dead, thou shalt be saved. That's all you got to do. And God will save you this very moment if you'll put your faith and trust in Him. Look at verse 7. We see the second I will, the I will of unequaled satisfaction. He said, I will take you to me for a people, and I will be to you a God. Aren't you glad? And ye shall know that I am the Lord your God, which bringeth you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. Now God promises Israel that he'll take those old slaves and transform them into his people. I tell you, I get excited. You know, somebody said, who's your father? You know, of course, down here, yeah, I'd say my daddy was E.W. Holland. But I'm going to tell you, sometimes people say, who's your father? And I say, the Lord Jesus Christ, my heavenly Father. He's there, and he abides with me, and he meets the need that we have in our life. He transforms us as his people. When you get saved, you become a child of God. What a blessing it is. But you know what he calls them? He said in Exodus 19:5, they become a peculiar treasure. This is of all the people who lived upon the earth in that day. They alone would be his people. He would have a special relationship with them. You know, isn't it wonderful today? God, can you imagine God in all of his majesty, in all of his power, in all of his being? Can you imagine that you can bow your head and talk to him right now, and he'll listen to you, and he'll answer that prayer if you're praying according to his will? There's a closeness that comes. There's a state of blessedness that no other people would know. Why this choice of this people? Because they followed his plan to the letter. By the way, that still works today. If a person wants to be in a relationship with God, it must not come to pass. They need to be sure they're saved. It's not joining the church. It's not going through some religious activities. Not even being baptized. Thank God it's just putting your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Old sinners are made into saints of God by placing their faith in the blood shed on the cross of Calvary for their sin. When a person trusts the blood and nothing else, that person enters a special relationship with God. It was talking about the songs about the blood. Hey, how about this one? Saved by the blood of the crucified one. I tell you, when God saves you, we become a peculiar people. He talks about that even in the New Testament. We're redeemed. We're called peculiar people. Why? Because we're separated then from the world and separated unto him, unto God. Then there's the satisfaction of his approval. Not only did he promise to accept these people to himself, but he promised to prove his acceptance by demonstrating his power on their behalf. I tell you today, I'm glad that God's on my side. Somebody said, me and God's a majority. You forget that. God's a majority with or without you, friend. But I'm glad today that he will partner with us and give us what we need along the way. As the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness, you remember what he did. He showed them his power. How did he do that? Well, there was something called a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. He used that as a cloud that it would go over and they would follow it and see where it was going. And I tell you one thing, they had to know that there was some great power that was allowing that to happen. Who in the world would have a cloud by day to lead them and a cloud by fire at night to guide and direct them? Only by the hand of God. They came to the Red Sea. It seemed almost an impossibility for them to get across. But yet, what'd God do? God told Moses to go and put his foot in the water and strike it. And he stood, as he stood there, the water rolled back, stood upon his side, and they went over on dry ground. You said, you believe that? I sure do. You said, why? Because the Bible says so. That's why. They had to know. I'll tell you, I ain't walked through no river with the water stand up on the side of me. But I guarantee you, if I'd have seen that, I'd know somebody greater than I had to do that. And they saw the hand of God. And then what else did he do? He gave them manna and water every day of their lives. If you're out in the wilderness, you got to hunt for food. You got to do the best you can do to get what you can do to get the nourishment you need. But not if you're a child of God. Not if you're in a relationship with God. The fact of it is, he supplied their needs all along the way. And we don't want to leave out the fact he gave them victory over all their enemies. Isn't that just a wonderful thought today? His approval of Israel as a people was demonstrated to them every day. And could I tell you, God's power is demonstrated to us every day. When we get up and our feet hit the floor, we draw a breath of air, another miracle has transpired in our life, and God has blessed us. Friend, today, if you go to the hospital, go to the nursing home, go places, we see people today that are hurting, people that are going through difficulty. And I tell you what, it's sure made me stop and think how blessed I've been as a child of God along the way, every single day of our lives, the manifestation of His approval upon our life is demonstrated by the blessings that we, His children, enjoy along the way. What a blessing. Somebody said, man, what kind of benefits you got? Man, we got really good benefits. They're out of this world. And fact is, today, we've got the best benefits you can have. That's why they who know Him and walk close communion with Him are a happy and satisfied people. Friend, just be happy and be satisfied, because God, if you know Him today, is your Savior. He's going to bestow upon you the blessings that He gives you along the way. And then look with me at verse 8. The last thing we see is we see the I will of unending security. The Bible said, and I will bring you unto the land concerning the which I did swear to give it to Abraham, to Isaac, to Jacob. And I will give it to you for an inheritance. I am the Lord. He said, the I will of unending security. Friend, whether you understand it or don't, when God saved you, He saved you forever. He gave you eternal life. He can't go back on His word. He's not going to go back on His word. When a person is saved and born again, if you sincerely pray and ask Jesus to save you, you know that you meant it, you're seeking God, God will come into your heart and save you. And you know what He does? He promises you a habitation. Here were the people that God had promised to deliver. He had promised to deliver them from the burdens, to deliver them from the bondage. However, His promise extended way beyond the simple idea of bringing them out. Not only did He want to bring them out, He wanted to bring them in. And I'm glad today that I've been brought out. But I'm looking forward to the day He's going to bring me in. And I'm going to go to the place that He's prepared for me. He did not leave them to wander in the wilderness forever. I've had people tell me sometimes, preacher, I feel like I'm wandering in the wilderness. Well, you know, maybe sometimes you get that feeling, and I understand that. But friend, just remember, if you're saved, you're not going to wander in the wilderness forever. He's delivered you. He's promised you. He's going to remove the bondage from you. And He's going to bring you to the place of blessing where you can enjoy the benefits of being with Him forever and forever. I'm glad today He set them free in order to set them up. He set them free from the bondage and the burdens of Egypt, the slavery of Egypt, in order that He might set them up for a place that He was promising them. He delivered them from the bondage that He might bring them into the place of blessing, but His promise carried the idea of keeping them safely as they journeyed, or delivering them safely to the land of promise, which He had promised that He would deliver. We enjoy the same precious security this morning. God did not save a single one of us to lose us along the way. I know when the children of Israel was wandering, I know God allowed them to stay there until many of them, until they died off, and only certain ones went into the land that had been promised. But God took care of them the whole time they were there and along the way. He didn't lose a single one of them on their way home. He was there guiding them and directing them. Other night, what a great illustration we saw in the video from the Holy Land, talking about the sheep, the shepherd. How He would go after one just to bring him back and take care of him and watch over him. I want you to know today, if you're saved by the grace of God, you're headed home. A lot of times when I preach a message, I sometimes preach a funeral message that I call Safely Home. When a child of God gets home, we live in a world where it doesn't seem to be as safe as we'd love for it to be. In fact, there's all kind of things going on around about, and we never know from day to day what tomorrow holds. But I know one thing. One day, I'm going home. Home to be with the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm going to tell you something. Because that sticks in my mind, if I didn't know Christ, I'd give some serious consideration to accepting Christ as my Savior and starting my journey. I started my journey years ago. I've been on my journey. God has been with me every step of the way. There's been some problems and heartache along the way, but through it all, God has provided what I needed. And He's blessed me more than I deserve. Yet today, if you've never been saved, you hadn't even started your journey. And today, the only thing that stands in front of you is condemnation in a place called hell. But he not only promised a habitation, he promised a heritage. God's promise to Israel was of a land where they would enjoy the best of God's blessings. They knew the promised land is the land, according to Exodus 3, verse 8, is the land flowing with milk and honey. His purpose in redeeming them was not finished with them until he delivered them from bondage. It was not finished when they left Egypt for the wilderness. It was not finished until they stood on the ground that he had promised to their fathers. God's plan for them was not complete until they were safely home. He saved us to take us to the place that he's preparing for us. In John 14, he said, "Let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. For in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you." He said, "I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also." And Thomas said unto him, "Lord, how can we know the way?" He summed it up this way. He said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." And I tell you today, I'm trusting him. I heard somebody say one time, in fact, you can ask people if they're saved. And you know what the general answer is? "I hope so." Well, I'm glad today that I don't have a hope-so salvation. I've got a no-so salvation. God changed my life years ago and gave me the assurance that he was going to bring me out in order to bring me in to the place that he had promised us. He saved us so that one day we would step out of this life into his presence in a place called heaven. I tell you, I heard a song one time. I can't remember all the words, but it talks about just stepping from this shore over to the other shore. And I tell you, I believe it happens just that quick. There's no purgatory. You don't go no waiting place. If you're saved, the Bible said, "Absent from the body is present with the Lord." And oh, the joy that even comes in death to those who know him. He brought us out of a hopeless situation to bring us into an eternal heritage. Just think how good God is today as we enjoy the earnest of his inheritance, according to Ephesians 1:14. What will it be like to experience him face to face one day? I thank God for the blessings this morning of the redeemed. I'm glad to say that I've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. How about you? Do you know him as your Savior today? Are you in a position to honestly say that we're enjoying the best that God has to offer? Now, we can be saved, but we can be neglecting what God wants to bless us with if we turn away from him. Have we been saved? Are we walking with him like we should be? Does the shackles of sin still hang on to us? Do they still have us bound? Or have they been set free by the relationship with God? Friend, Jesus has the keys. He can loose those chains. And I tell you today, if your experience doesn't line up with what I'm saying today, you need to get things settled this morning. I remember years ago, a man by the name of Barley Nix. Barley Nix lived in Cairo, came to the church. I pastored over there for a short time. He kept the yards up. And one day, Barley, I went outside, and he stopped me, and he said, "Preacher, can I talk to you?" And I said, "You sure can." He said, "I'm not sure. If you're preaching what's right, then I'm not sure I'm saved." I said, "Well, Barley, tell me about it." He said, "Well, I just went to a meeting, and they asked people if they wanted to join the church." And he said, "There was a bunch of us went down and joined the church." And he said, "They filled out a card." I said, "Nobody explained to you what you needed to do? You didn't pray, or, you know, nobody prayed with you about this?" He said, "No, they just filled out a card, and I joined the church." I said, "Well, Barley, what I'm preaching is right. And what you did was wrong, but you can get it right now." And under a tree in my backyard, he trusted Christ as his Savior. He was grown up in age a little bit, but I tell you what, he was unashamed. And the following Sunday, he walked down an old-fashioned aisle. He trusted, well, he'd already trusted Christ, but he said, "I want to follow the Lord in believer's baptism and live for him and serve him." And as far as I know, he did until he died. But I'm grateful today that God still saves those that will come to him. I know if he's speaking to you today, you'll allow your heart to be tender and open to what Jesus said. But I want you to know, he set me free, and he'll set you free if you'll put your faith and trust in him.